In the book of James, in chapter 3 and verse 17, James 3:17, we read about the wisdom of God that we need to have in us. And we're reading here as part of the wisdom of God, then obviously these different parts of the very nature of God that we need to have. But James 3:17 says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." And it's that very last one that's mentioned there in that list that we want to hone in on in our study this morning. When he says the wisdom of God is without hypocrisy, we as children of God and followers of Christ must also be without hypocrisy. Now that word hypocrite, it's an interesting word, especially when we delve into the roots of it in the New Testament, where we just read about hypocrisy that we're to be without. The word hypocrisy or hypocrite in English is really a transliteration from the Greek language than the Greek word that it that we find in the scriptures. There's a difference between a translation and a transliteration. A translation is when you take a word from one language and then you use the word in the other language that is the equivalent or of the same meaning as that word. And so you're translating a word from one language to another. When you transliterate a word from another language, that's when you take that word from that other language and then you just bring it over and make it a new word into your own language. So that's what happened with this word. So the word for hypocrite is the Greek word, and hupokrinomai is the root of it in Greek, and it is to decide, speak, or act under a false part. Well, that's we can understand the meaning of it. That prefix portion hupo is under. And the word krino is the word for that means to decide or to judge is how it's usually translated. And so those are the roots of the word there. The word for hypocrite, hupokratos is the word hupokrates in Greek. I mean, it's just hypocrite in Greek. And it means an actor under an assumed character. Like a stage player, and that's what pretending is. So when a person is pretending to be something that they really aren't, I mean that right there is the root of the word and its literal definition. So hypocrisy is acting under a feigned part, which is the derived from the same word, of course. And sometimes we read the word in the New Testament, unfeigned, which we'll try to see some other some examples of that used, which is the word hypocrite with the Greek letter alpha in front of it, which means not. So not hypocritical or not hypocrisy, which is unfeigned, literally to mean undisassembled. So it's not a not hypocrisy. So it's the opposite. So we find those words used a lot in the scriptures, especially in the New Testament, where he condemns hypocrisy, making pretense, pretending to be something that we're not, when we are acting or speaking in one way, saying one thing, doing another, or saying something but not doing it. Those are all descriptions of what being a hypocrite is, and we want to start in our study of that this morning, looking at some examples of it as it's described. Then we can all recognize it. So let's look at some examples from God's Word. We could look at a lot more than we have time for, but a couple from the Old Testament. Let's first look at Saul, King Saul. And an example of his hypocrisy in 1 Samuel chapter 28, This is at the very end of his life. Now, based on his disobedience to God that he had been demonstrating for many, many years and had not repented of, God was not answering him. God had rejected him, and the prophet Samuel had died. So 1 Samuel 28 verse 3 says, "Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land." The witches and wizards, that was something that God had commanded that any that practiced that were to be put to death. Well, King Saul had put them away out of the land. So that was something that was not to be, could not be openly practiced. Well, was that good? Was that a right thing to do? Well, God had commanded for them not to practice that. That's false religion. And so anybody that was teaching or practicing falsely, and particularly witchcraft, they were to be destroyed. So just a few verses down, though, we see the hypocrisy in verses 7 to 10. It says, "Then said Saul unto his servant, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing." Now, this is really multi-level hypocrisy that we're seeing displayed. Saul goes to this witch because the Lord's not answering him because of his wickedness. Now, for Saul to have recognized that God had said witchcraft was not to be practiced, and so those who did so were to be destroyed, and Saul had done that part. But for Saul to recognize that and to have all the wizards and witches put away, and then he goes to one when God's not answering him, well, is that sincere? Is that hypocrisy? You're gonna destroy all the witches, but then when God's not answering you, you go to a witch to have get assistance there? I mean, that's blatant hypocrisy. And he goes to her in disguise, it says. Why is he disguising himself? He's hiding from her the fact that he's King Saul, because if she recognized him, she would be afraid to cooperate with him and assist him in his seeking to have her bring up a spirit, because Saul had destroyed all the wizards and the witches. So he's having to hide who he really is so that she wouldn't know who he really is, so that he could then practice this hypocrisy. So he's having to be, really to be a hypocrite in order to be a hypocrite. And then furthermore, after she says, well, King Saul has put away all the witches, why are you laying a snare for my life? Then who does he swear by that she would not be punished for this thing? He swears by Jehovah. So he's using the name of God, the one who had condemned witchcraft, and the very one who had commanded that they be put to death. And then by his name, he's promising that she won't be destroyed for this wickedness that she's doing, by which God said that she should be. So in how many ways is Saul being a hypocrite in that case? And we know that Samuel, not because of the witch, but God sent Samuel back to condemn him and to inform him he would be dead the next day. Tomorrow, he said, you'll be with me. And he was. And then the Lord also pointed out that he destroyed Saul's life for all the wickedness he had done before, but then added to it this act, this final act of his, the day before his death, in going to a witch. In 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse 3, we read about Abijam, who was the second king of Judah after its division, the split in the kingdom after Solomon's death. So this is King Solomon's grandson, son of Rehoboam, Abijam. And it describes him here in 1 Kings 15, verse 3. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 13, when we read about Abijam here, we read his words that he spoke to King Jeroboam, the king of the northern kingdom that had split from Rehoboam, Abijam's father. And so here's this man that we just read, whose heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father, but had rather walked in the sins of his father Rehoboam. So here's a sinful man who is not does not have a heart that's perfect with God like David's was. He's not like David. He's like his father in following evil. And here's what he says to Jeroboam in 2 Chronicles 13, verses 10 and 11. But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him, and the priests which minister unto the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites wait upon their business, and they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. The showbread also they set in order upon the pure table, and the candlestick of gold with the lamps thereof to burn every evening. For we keep the charge of the Lord our God, but ye have forsaken him. Well, there was some truth in that. I mean, the true priests of the Lord, the ones that were faithful, were there in Judah at this point, not with Jeroboam. He'd made false priests. But he's extending this claim to include himself in following the Lord when he said, but as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. And then he condemns Jeroboam and the people of the northern kingdom for having forsaken the Lord. But for him to be saying that when we just read how his heart was not perfect with the Lord like David's, but rather he was walking in the sins of his father Rehoboam, what does that make Abijam? When he's condemning people for forsaking the Lord, when he's forsaken the Lord. Now, he wasn't necessarily doing the very same things that Jeroboam and those others were. He was following other evil. But was he following the Lord? And what is it when you condemn somebody else for not following God and for forsaking him when you've forsaken him yourself? I mean, that's a hypocrite. There are lots of examples of that, other examples that we could look at, but those certainly stand out. In the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus Christ described the hypocrisy of the religious leaders of his day, particularly those the Pharisees. And we read many passages where Christ points out their hypocrisy. And so if we want to learn what hypocrisy is or how we can recognize it, how it's described, we can certainly do no better than looking at the words of Christ and his condemnation of the hypocrites that were leading the people of Israel in his time, these Pharisees especially. Matthew chapter 6, he condemned them in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, verses 1 through 8. Their hypocrisy was demonstrated in the way they gave alms, in the way they prayed, in their fasting, all of that. Those three particular actions of theirs were described and condemned by Christ in their hypocrisy in this passage in Matthew chapter 6. Verses 1 through 8, he says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. And then verses 16 through 18, they're fasting. He says, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, how was their giving of alms, their praying, their fasting, how was all of that hypocritical? Well, they were presenting themselves as doing all of that for whom? For God. Who were they really doing it for? To be seen of men, so that they could have glory from men. That's what they loved, that's what they desired. So they were pretending in their motivation to be doing these works for God, but it was done before men to be seen of them so that men would glorify them for what they were doing. So when they would pray loudly and longly where everybody could see them and hear them and give their alms before everybody, I mean, was that... were they sincere in that, or was that a big show? I mean, it was a big show they were putting on. Were they really that miserable when they disfigured their faces so that everybody would see how miserable they looked, so that they could be praised for how righteous and wonderful they were for denying themselves food and making such a sacrifice as they were when they fasted? Or was this all pretense and a big show? This was hypocrisy on display in all of those things. And he says, for us not to be like that. Matthew chapter 15, we see another example of it here in verses 1 through 9. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Now, why were they saying that? Well, we'll see their misunderstanding was they didn't want to be defiled before God, and they were teaching that if you get any dirt inside you, physical impurities, that's going to defile you before God. Well, they were wrong, and they were completely blind and misunderstanding in that. But furthermore, were they that concerned about not being defiled before God? They were hypocrites, as Jesus is going to point out. When he answers them and says, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? So they were condemning his disciples for not following their traditions, but they were transgressing the commandments of God by those very traditions they had. He says, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So they were doing all of these things to be seen of men, and they had all of these traditions of their own. And with their mouths, they would say how much they love God, and they would draw near to God there with their mouth and lips. But where was their heart? Their heart was far from God. So when their mouths and their actions, their words and their actions were pretending like they loved God and were near to God, but their heart was far from God, was that being hypocritical? That was being hypocritical. So he condemned their hypocrisy again there. The next chapter, Matthew 16, 1 and 2, actually 1 through 12, Matthew 16, says, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Now with that request, show us a sign from heaven. What is behind that? Do a miracle and we'll believe you is what that is really meaning. So they're claiming they're going to believe in him if they can see some kind of miraculous sign. Would they? I mean, how many miracles had he already done? And did they believe in him? No. So were they being sincere when they said, show us a sign? They were not. So they were being hypocrites. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now, what was that leaven? What had they just displayed? Hypocrisy. And that's what he's warning them of. And of course, what does a little leaven do? What can a little hypocrisy do? Can it spread? If the leaders are hypocrites, what's a great danger for the people to follow that hypocrisy? And so he's warning his disciples of their leaven so that they weren't leavened with it. It says they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Was Jesus talking about physical leaven here? No, and he's going to point that out. It says, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason you among yourselves because you brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? So when it comes to a lack of physical bread, was that any problem for Christ? He's reminding you of two great miracles when they lacked bread, and he miraculously multiplied it till there was sufficient for everybody. And having seen those miracles, why would they think that he was very concerned about not having enough physical bread? He then points out what he's speaking to them of. He says, How is it that you do not understand that I spake not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Their teachings, all that they taught, all that they did, it was hypocritical. Luke 12, we see this some more of this in verses 1 through 3. Luke 12, 1 through 3. In the meantime, it says, when they were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So he says it plainly there. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. See, what's one of the big problems with being a hypocrite? We may be pretending, and if we're faking it and pretending, if we're not sincere in it, and we may successfully fool other people into thinking that we are something that we're not, but who are we not fooling? We're certainly not deceiving God, and it's all going to come out in Judgment Day. So all these secret things are going to be known. It's going to be revealed. There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear and closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Now, do we want everything that we're doing in private not to be known? We need to think about that, because if we're one thing... in our lives, and we're living one type of life secretly, and we talk a different way when we are not with ones that we're wanting to pretend to be righteous in front of, the Lord's going to bring it all out. Should we be one way and with our brethren and with one another, but then be a different person when we are not here with each other? I mean, if we're a different person tomorrow with whom we are around than we're appearing to be today, of course, we're not really a different person. What kind of person are we? We would be a hypocrite then. So he's warning us about that not to follow hypocrisy, which is the leaven of those Pharisees. There are many other examples of that. Time fails us to look at Matthew chapter 23, the entirety of the chapter, verses 1 through 36, very lengthy reading where Jesus directly condemned the hypocrisy of the Pharisees directly to them. But as he also told them that they were hypocrites. This was particularly to be a warning to his disciples, because verse 1 says, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do." Sitting in Moses' seat. They were the ones that were the teachers in the synagogue. So when they were in Moses' seat, what is that referring to? When they had the law of Moses open, when they were reading God's word to them, and they were saying, here, you must do this, and they were reading God's word. Did their hypocrisy invalidate or remove or take away from what God had said and the truth of that? So were God's commandments nullified by their own hypocrisy? No. Have you ever heard of somebody that said, well, I'm not going to that place, you know, I'm not going to be there in the church there with those people on Sundays. They're a bunch of hypocrites. So then they'll use that as an excuse for not following the Lord or doing their part, and they'll blame it on, say, because the people who are there are just a bunch of hypocrites. That's a very common rationalization that people use. Is it possible that there can be Christians that are hypocrites? Well, that's why we're reading about this. We're warned not to be. But is that does that mean, because if some Christians are hypocrites, that excuses everybody else so that they don't have to follow the Lord at all, so that we can be sincerely wicked? I mean, that's not the right kind of sincerity at all, is it? That's not going to save us. So that's an excuse. That's not going to help us at all. And what did Jesus tell the people to do when these hypocrites that were their leaders, when they were reading God's law, what were they supposed to do? Follow what God said. He says that, observe and do. Then he warns them, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. So what they were commanding them to do when they were reading God's word, and here's what God says, were they following it? No, they were not. And he told them not to follow after their example. But they still had to follow what God said, but these people weren't. And when they were saying and not doing, what is that? That's hypocrisy. And he says, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. And then he went on to talk about how they dressed. They had special clothes that they would wear, greetings, places, the seats in the synagogues, their titles, all of these things that they had. And it was all for to glorify themselves from men. And Jesus condemned that hypocrisy and called them whited sepulchres, full of dead men's bones, on the outside made to look real nice. I think we've all seen cemeteries where graves are well taken care of, and so it looks real nice on the outside, but what's in the ground? He said they were like that. On the inside, in their inner man, they were full of wickedness. So they made themselves appear righteous outwardly, but inside they were full of wickedness. They were hypocrites. And so Jesus warned the people not to follow those leaders. They were wicked. But can the righteous fall to this temptation? Is this something that we can say, well, I'm a Christian now, so I'm not a Pharisee, so I don't have to be concerned about that. No, we can all be touched by this and fall to this temptation. The Apostle Peter did. In Galatians chapter 2, 11 to 14, it says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, he says, through the Apostle Paul, he says, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. That word dissimulation is the word hypocrisy. So here was hypocrisy. Peter was eating with the Gentiles until these Jews from Jerusalem came, and he didn't want to be seen by his fellow Jews to be eating with Gentiles, so he separated himself from the Gentiles and wouldn't eat with them anymore in front of these fellow Jews. So then Barnabas also got carried away with that, and he separated himself from the Gentiles. So it says, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and do not as the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? He was doing that because he was afraid of what his other brethren would think. And so by out of that fear of what they were thinking, and that was being more, that was being concerned about what men were going to think and say about him rather than God. And in that situation, Peter and Barnabas fell to the temptation and they displayed hypocrisy there. And they were rebuked by the Apostle Paul for doing so. Well, if Peter and Barnabas could fall to that temptation, could you or could I? And we can, and that's why we're warned about that. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 and 2, this would be a characteristic of when there would be that falling away from the faith of many. So here's where it would affect many Christians. You can't fall away or depart from the faith if you're not in the faith to begin with, can you? 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed by seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So hypocrisy, the searing of the conscience, where they were still presenting themselves as one thing, but then they were as ones who were following the truth, speaking the truth, but then they were in fact speaking lies. Hypocrisy would be rampant at this time when he was talking about when some would depart from the faith. So there's a reason for us to take heed to this warning. And we're told to lay aside hypocrisy. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 22, we're going to read down through chapter 2, verse 2. Not many verses, but he says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. That word unfeigned is the not hypocritical, not without hypocrisy. So our love of the brethren must be without hypocrisy. That's not something that we are to be pretending. It must be sincere. We must have an unfeigned love of the brethren. And he says, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, as we start chapter 2, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Well, how are we going to lay aside hypocrisy? Because that's what he's telling us to do. Instead of following after hypocrisy, and we see so many examples of it, how do we lay that aside and not fall to that temptation? We need to know the word of God and follow it. That's what we're born again with, and that is how we grow in Christ and how we lay aside hypocrisy and all of these other evil things. We have to learn God's word more and more and follow it to be able to grow in our faith so that we have that shield of faith that's able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, including hypocrisy, so we can lay that aside and not fall to that temptation. And so as we follow Christ, we have to have that wisdom of God, which is without hypocrisy. If you are not yet a child of God this morning, this is an opportunity for you to become one of his children by obeying the gospel of Christ, his son. If you would repent and be baptized in the name of Christ, confessing your faith in Christ before men at this time, as the Lord commands us all to do, in order for us to become one of his children and have the remission of sins. We're encouraging you to do that now if that is your need. If you are a member of the Lord's body and you need to repent of any sin, or if there's any hypocrisy you need to put away, or you need the prayers of the church at this time, this is an opportunity for you to make things right with the Lord, and we encourage anyone that needs to respond to his invitation at this time to do so while we stand together and sing.